All right. So we've just listened to Derek Ryan's song, Full House, Empty Heart. And he taught us sort of the story behind it, that he went to a concert of a well-known artist, superstar. And Derek's perception of the whole evening was the guy, or the person, whoever, unnamed, just went through the motions, but their heart was not in it. Full house, but an empty heart. And that was the inspiration for that song. And there's something about that that is disturbing for lots of people, because it's really not meant to be that way. It should be full house, full heart, because that's the way things are sold to us, that success will breed happiness. And the truth is, it may for a while, but it may also breed emptiness. And so here, obviously, Derek is writing from the idea of a musical person, but we can change that metaphor in a few minutes to where we are at. But we understand, because the story here is not new. It's told over and over again, whether it is a well-known rock star, a musician, an actor, a famous sports person, makes no difference. Same thing is up anyway. Got my name in lights, I'm a superstar. Fancy wheel, I got my free guitar. All those things come as perks of the job. As your name goes up there, companies are very happy to give you stuff so that you're promoting the product, whatever it be. In this case, obviously, it's a musical instrument. The key to success, of course, for an artist, all my songs are at the top of the charts. That's key. They call that in the record business selling units. And when we were younger, we were always keen to see who was number one and top of the pops. So to have all this, I've got a full house, so a big audience, sellout show, with an empty heart. Sellout shows, every time I play, hotels upgrade me everywhere I stay. When you are a name and when you're seen as being successful, people love to do things for you. Because in doing things for you, they're actually doing something for themselves. Guess who stayed here last night? It's amazing. And you look at that and it says, hey, you think I'm clever, but I'm not that smart, because I have a full house and an empty heart. Quite powerful lyrics, isn't it? And this is Derek Ryan. He sat down and wrote this after this particular gig. Old motels love me. They give me beer. Somehow my money seems to disappear. And that's the story all over, isn't it? Whether it is a sports personality, a rock star, movie star, whatever it is, loads of money, but it kind of just goes through their fingers. Not in all cases, but in many cases. So it says, somehow my money seems to disappear. You see, my hairdo is a work of art. And that's so important, certainly in the music industry, but it's important in other places as well, obviously. And all that is about presentation. You've got to look right, your appearance. When you're coming out on stage, people are looking at you and they're making decisions as to how well you look, how thin you are, what kind of style your hair is. That's if you have hair, of course. So he's here breaking a bit of fun, my hair. It's a work of art. I'm sure it is. I'm sure in many cases they have stylists and everything to go on. I've got a full house, but an empty heart. And the chorus, which is played over and over, at least twice, if not three times, I've got a full house, an empty heart. How did I get here? Where do I start? I pull it together, that's for the show. Then I fall apart. See how relevant that is. They're okay while they're on stage, take them off, and often there's mayhem. I've got a full house and an empty heart. Disturbing in many ways, because the flow of the world and the way it's promoted is success and happiness and fulfillment goes together. And yet, we know, from having lived any length of time, that the reality is that some of those who are highly successful are miserable. I'm not trying to figure out, how could you be miserable with all that you have? True? So we see it, we hear it, and you've all seen people being interviewed down through the years on TV, and you've read articles in newspapers, I suppose, and online now, of famous people. Highly successful, but empty at the very core. And I'm not knocking them, I'm just saying that's the issue. And what we do with that is we're inclined to dismiss it and say, well, that's the lifestyle, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. All of us in the business world, you know, it's a cutthroat world out there, highly competitive, highly stressful, and all of this. And we still don't have the answers. We just said that's probably the cause of it. And we just say, well, money doesn't satisfy everything. Your success doesn't necessarily bring happiness. And yet, the vast majority of people will go after what? Success. But if you're successful and you have an empty heart, what do you do then? So, that's where I'm going with it. And I begin here, where most of us who are not superstars are unlikely we're going to get that there because of the mileage on the body and the vintage. Maybe Lydia, she might become a superstar yet. But for most people, right, this is where they're at. And I have met people like this, and so have you. And what they say is, I have a healthy bank account. Okay? I don't want for anything. But I feel empty inside. No, we'll describe that lifestyle as comfortable. They're not mega rich, but they have enough to keep them going and a little extra for the rainy day. Don't want for anything, but I feel empty inside. It's not meant to be that way, because we're told if you do the work, you put in the time, and the thing grows along, there will be fulfillment. And maybe there was, but now there is the stuff, but there's the emptiness as well. So a full house, empty heart. It doesn't make any difference which way, where you go with it. You can have a healthy bank account and still be empty. I bet you have known people who've said that to you. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And yet we're told that if we go that way, that it should be okay. But it's not. Anyway, we go up to the next level. There's a level above comfortable. Not many of us will get there, but there is a level above comfortable. And at this level, it's where you really are above most lads, right? You know, you're giddy up there. And at that stage, then you says, you meet people at this stage. They're pretty much on top, or if not on top, they're close enough to it. And they'll say things like, I have all the things that are supposed to make me, or to make one, happy. They have the house, the car, the prestige, the respect of their colleagues. They have all that stuff. And all that stuff is meant to make them happier. So they have the stuff. Family and friends and colleagues would say, I would love to be where you are. I would love to have what you have. And in many cases, there can be the envy of many people. While they're saying under their breath is, no, you wouldn't. Because I have all the stuff that is meant to make me happy. Yet, I feel empty, dissatisfied, and at times downright miserable. Full house, empty heart. No, we have met people, I have spoken with people who have come to me down through the years and who have said pretty much death to me. I studied hard, I worked hard, I made progress, I got to where I needed to be, a hard slog, and it was meant to make me happy. I have all the stuff, and yet I'm the envy of my colleagues and friends. But guess what? I'm dissatisfied. Often I'm empty, and I'm downright miserable. And I'm saying, why in the heck are you coming to me? But you see, there's something wrong, isn't there? And yet, that is what has pumped out. To that person will say, maybe you need to take a career break. Maybe you need to change careers altogether. Or maybe you need to go off and get a good hobby. Or get more balance into your life, or get something else. The problem is, the emptiness is deeper than that. That may help for a while. Or I might distract from the emptiness of being dissatisfied. Derek Ryan is right. Full house and an empty heart is very much, it is more common and more widespread than we're willing to admit. Because everything that is pushed this way is pushed towards that. Achieve, succeed, and you will be happy and you will be fulfilled. And they get there, and now there's a problem. Full house, empty heart. We'll come to case study in a minute, but very interesting is, oh, by the way, Christianity is no better. Because in the Christian world, succeeding is every bit as important as it is in the secular world. It's just we're not as honest. We can't afford to be seen that we are miserable and empty. Can't afford to be saying that. You can say that in the real world, but in Christianity you can say that. But I reckon a lot of people are, but won't necessarily mean it. So why is it that that happens? And what is it that causes that? And there's many causes, but Jesus alluded to one anyway, which is an important thing. There's a hidden danger. And Jesus pointed out this, and this is over 2,000 years ago, before we had mass marketing and advertising and all of that. And he said it this way. Oh, by the way, let me give you the definition of a full house, empty heart. Successful on the outside, empty on the inside. When Derek Ryan went to that gig that night, that's exactly what he saw. He saw all the trappings of success on the outside, and he recognized the emptiness on the inside. So a lot of people can look successful and still be empty. Anyway, what does Jesus say? Well, this is just an example of stuff. How does one end up there? Well, there's a few ways of doing it, but this is one of the things. Jesus talked to his disciples about this. He said, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Very powerful, very insightful. There's never a mention of any greed, by the way, when you're climbing the ladder and being successful. I'm not saying that people are greedy, but I'm just saying is he's saying you need to watch for what drives the stuff, because life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. But that's the lie that we're told, isn't it? The more you have, the happier you will be. Another version, I think the Living Bible says it this way, don't always be wishing for what you don't have. For real life and real living are not related to how rich we are. But in the world it is. And there lies the problem. Real life and real living equals success. And success equals happiness. And here's Jesus saying, actually, it doesn't go that way. Mind you, there's nothing wrong with being successful. Successful in itself is not a bad or a wrong thing. Successful is only wrong when it's the end all or the be all of everything. That's the problem. But there's a hidden danger that's put in there that Jesus was alluding to that we've never heard. Do you really hear sermons on that? You don't? Don't always be wishing for what you don't have, for real life and real living are not related to how rich we are. And yet much of the striving in the secular and in the Christian world is directly opposite to what he's actually saying there. What we say is, Jesus, we hear what you're saying, but with respect, we hold a different view. Truthfully, that's what happens. So there's a warning that's ignored. You know, he's just finding a warning shot. Stuff won't necessarily make that much difference, because real life is not wrapped up about the possessions. There's something more important involved in it. Full house, empty heart. I've just given you one verse, but there's an entire book of the Bible that is dedicated to this. And the man who wrote this particular book knew exactly what it was to have a full house and an empty heart. He did it in a way that would make the rest of the lads who were trying to do it like peasants. This particular man did it in a massive way. And he ended up in the very same place. He had a full house and an empty heart. One of the things that he wrote in years later, he said, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You mean to say, I have to guard my heart against success. I have to guard my heart that I don't make success the end all and the be all. Because if I do and I get there, I'm going to have to deal with what? A full house and an empty heart. Another way of saying this was, guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. Get to the top, or get to whatever the top looks like for you, and there you will find peace, there you will find contentment, and there you will find happiness. But you may also find an empty house, that with all of it, it is not satisfied. There was nothing wrong with the journey, there's nothing wrong of where they got to. But there's something radically wrong if that becomes the end all and the be all. Full house, empty heart. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. This is my expert here. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. This is a man who knew what it was to have a full house and an empty heart, and was also a follower of God. So we're not talking here about Joe Pagan. And having experienced all of the fullness and everything that you could experience, things we can only dream of, which I'll show you and take, he's expression of that emptiness is Ecclesiastes verse 2. And he got there and he had it all. He said, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Full house, empty heart. He wrote 12 chapters on it. You want to know about empty and gathering and doing all the stuff? He wrote a whole book called Ecclesiastes, because I'm referring to the man Solomon. What we will do in closing, we're going to just look at 12 verses. Remember I said there's 12 chapters. And he's going to give us just a little window into the different things he tried. Because what we want to know is, how in the heck did he end up here with this meaningless, meaningless, meaningless? To do that, we're going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, you need to get your Bibles for this, and verses 1 to 11. This is Solomon speaking. Martin, you may have a number there. Mary, you might have a number for it. 669. And it says this. Now remember, now this man had vast resources, vast wealth, and he was king. So tremendous power, tremendous, and he was incredibly wise, an IQ of that of a genius. So it came every way. And he says, verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, it is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. He played with the toys of life. Let's put it that way. Everything that could give him pleasure and could do that, he went for it. But you'll say, but wait a minute, Solomon. You know, that's all play. That's an imbalanced approach. You need to also find some meaningful projects. Would you agree? If his life is just all about play, you're not going to find fulfillment that way. So he does find projects. He goes on to verse 4. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water the growth of the flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and other slaves who were born in my house. I also own more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem, as well the delight, the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all of this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Solomon is describing, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, what it is to have a full house and an empty heart. So how do we apply this? This is the only way I could think of about applying it for us, for here, for now. Because there's much more to say in it, isn't there? Much more. But at least this. First of all, is success is overestimated. We need to be careful of that. Nothing wrong with it. But don't let it get overestimated. There's a danger in it. Because you could have a full house and an empty heart. Anyway, the application is this. From the Psalms. Turn my heart towards your statutes. And not towards selfish gain. That's where Solomon went wrong. He did it the other way around. So turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. You have some chance of defeating the full house and the empty heart. Because if you get a full house that way, the empty heart won't necessarily come with it. What a prayer, and then I'm finished. Lord, what can we say? Lord, I heard that song that night, Lord, when Derek Ryan sang it and the reasons behind it. Of course I did. And Lord, I said immediately that there's a sermon in that. And Lord, there is more than one sermon. But Lord, we live in a world that tells us that success will bring happiness. And Lord, we have enough evidence from those who achieved it to say, Lord, not necessarily so. Because it can bring emptiness of heart just as much as it can bring the full house. So, Lord, there is danger that is never recognized, and if it is, Lord, it's ignored. So, Lord, all we want to ask this day, Lord, that our hearts will be turned towards your statutes, Lord, towards the things, Lord, that you would want, Lord, and what is written in your word. and not towards selfish gain. Lord, help us, Lord, to avoid the trap that so many has fallen into. So, Lord, that we can avoid the emptiness, and Lord, the real emptiness that they experience. Lord, who would want us? Lord, whoever this is for, may they hear what it is you're saying, and Lord, may they be guided by it. And Lord, may they have a full house, but may it not cost them an empty heart. In your name we pray. Amen.